I'm happy to introduce to you Brother Gordon as our speaker today. And I ask that you might give very careful attention to the things he will bring to us, that you might remember him also in your private prayers.
Good afternoon to each of you. It was a bit of a surprise that I was able to be able to join you here. Our work has been such that I had to work overtime, as well as I count it a privilege to be able to come before you and to speak the Word of God. I chose as a special that song in our song hymnals, 227, as a theme of which I would like to present to you this day, Whispering Hope, Like an Anchor. I want you to be mindful of that song as I present the different things to you this day. I guess I would like to ask you a question. Why did you come to this reunion? And what was it in your heart, or what was placed in your heart to have a desire to come? You know, I guess as we ponder that question, we might come up with several different things and thoughts in our minds. One probably would be that we would look forward to the fellowship that we would have one with another, that we would be able to come and to see the people we haven't seen in a while, relatives, friends, and loved ones in the gospel of Christ. Then another would be that we might be strengthened by God's Spirit, that there might be things within our lives that we would need that strengthening Spirit to come and to help us in our lives. Then also it might be that we might have come, that we might be edified by the things that would be spoken this day and the days to follow and during the sermons, and also to be edified by the testimonies and the things that are spoken on the floor, not only spiritually but morally. We also may, in our mind, just to have a renewing or a refreshing of our faith and our hope as we live in this life, day to day, in the flesh. I would hope at least one of those items, or maybe all of them, are some of the reasons why you come and why you have come to the reunion. I hold the reunion as something very special for the body of Christ. It is only for the body of Christ, I feel, and those who are seeking after the body of Christ more than anything else. It is for you. That God's Spirit would rekindle and refresh, regenerate each one of you. That as we go out again into our daily lives, that we be renewed and strengthened to care for the things of the world and to have that new added strength. You know, it was 10 years ago since the last time I was here at the reunion. Most of the time I don't have the time to go because of going. My vacation time is short, and a lot of times I allot that for the conferences, so I don't get an opportunity to come. My wife does. But you know, 10 years ago I came with that feeling of having a desire to be renewed and refreshed. And you know, God answered my prayers. God changed my life through that one reunion. I came with burdens on my heart, a burden that, as you're able to read in Matthew, in the 11th chapter, where in Jesus' words he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And I learned that day that those words that Jesus spoke many years before were true. The hope that I was talking about, or that the song is speaking of and Whispering Hope, is another hope that I would like to bring to your attention. Yes, the gospel of Christ holds out this hope of this burden that Christ is speaking of. But there's another burden that we have within our lives as we are in the gospel of Christ. that in our everyday lives we have the burdens and trials that come before us. And those things I'd like to speak of. In Ether, in the book of Ether, in the Book of Mormon, we find that, or at least we're told, let me get over there, in the fifth chapter, in the 28th verse, it says, I give unto men weakness, that they may be humble, and my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. Behold, I shew unto the Gentiles their weakness, and I will show unto them that faith and hope and charity bringeth unto me the fountain of all righteousness. So on that day 10 years ago, and prior to, I concluded that I was very weak in the flesh. And God, through His mercy, showed me my weaknesses. And that humbled me, that I would seek God. And I had the hope that He would hear me. And I had the desire that He would hear me in my prayers, and the prayers of those of my brothers and sisters who were praying for me. You know, I find that probably the most difficult thing in my life is to live with the knowledge of my weaknesses. Do you find that? Do you find that to be very troubling? That's good. That's good. Don't ever lose that. Don't ever lose that feeling. Because the Scripture tells you that is what is going to compel us to be humble. That is the thing that is going to help us to realize that it isn't us, it is God that is working within us. That God is within us to overcome the evil that is there, as well as that it is God's power that is going to, as He says, by His grace we will be saved. And not through any of our doings. Hope. You know, in Peter, 1 Peter, let's turn over there. As he presented a salutation there. 1 Peter in the first chapter, starting with the third verse, he said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance uncorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it is with us in our daily walk of life, as we became new creatures in the gospel of Christ, as in 2 Corinthians tells you, Paul is speaking, he says you become a new creature. So as we've become a new creature, we have also inherited that incorruptibility that God has promised to each of the believers. But in all that, we find that those promises only come to those who would claim or who would exercise faith. As in the book of Hebrews, we find, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I never saw God, nor have I ever seen visions or had dreams. But the Spirit within me witnessed that God can do those things. And then that day, God did reveal His will. So now that I can stand before you, each of you, though you may not have experienced those things, I can now tell you, not in faith, but in a perfect knowledge, that God has love and has a great hope for each of you. And He wants you to feel it. He wants you to know it. And when Christ left, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what He meant. Do you believe it? Have you considered it? Or are we in this world to the point where we've forgotten what is in store for those, or for us, as believers in Christ. It's very easy to get into that position. There are many mansions in the heavens, and He's gone to prepare a place for us. But we're also admonished in Hebrews 11 chapter, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Again, I can come before you and tell you that this is fact. It is not just some words within a book. I have experienced it. And I know some of you out there have as well. Have you testified of it? Have you told others of it? When you approach somebody about the gospel, were you excited about it? Do you have that hope? There's two types of tribulation in the world. One, those who are in the world that are caught up in the things of the world and don't know of that yoke that God has for each, who would only take upon them. And that's a very severe yoke. A yoke that I can testify that it caused a physical anguish within me because of the things that I did in the flesh. Okay? That's a very heavy yoke or a burden that I allowed Christ to take from me. And I can also testify that Christ's yoke is light. There is no comparison. And there's also another tribulation, as I spoke of too. One, those who are in the world and caught up in the world and don't know about this relief that they can have. And then for us who have walked through that gate and entered in, and have received the yoke of Christ, there's another tribulation that we are told of. And that is the one in the world. In the 16th chapter, in the 33rd verse, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Christ speaking to His disciples, forewarning them of things to come, and then He said, you will have tribulation. That seems kind of contradictory in the sense that the Lord said that His yoke would be light, and yet He is telling His apostles that and His disciples at that time, that in the world they will have tribulation. So there will be things that come into your life, be it of your own doing or the doings of the world, that'll be a tribulation. That which will perplex you, that which will cause you difficulties within your life. But I'm going to tell you, it is totally different when you put on Christ. That burden is different. Because there should always be that resident within you, that peace of God. Even though the tribulations and those things are going on in your life, that peace of God should still be there. You know, I heard a testimony about that this morning. Our sister Jane Ann spoke of that. She said she still had that peace within her heart. Why? Because of God. Even though the tribulations within her life was going on, she had that strength. You know, I didn't have that. I didn't have that. But I do now. And I find it is light. And again, think back. Whispering hope. That's the hope that we have. That in all things, in all adversities, we have that hope that God is with us. That we have a home much better than what we have here on this earth. That there's a life far better than we can even imagine waiting for us in the life to come. One of the ways in which Christ has helped us to sustain us in our hope, in our faith, is by forewarning us and foretelling us of those things that are to come. Just like he told the disciples at that time. He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." And so he told them that you're going to scatter and you're going to run. But I foretold you that. So that when those things come, you will know. And so Christ has foretold us things to come within our lifetime. At least many of us feel that it could be within our lifetime. In Matthew, in the 24th chapter, it talks about the tribulation period. And in the 25th verse, it says, "Behold, I have told you before." So we should be able to stand in the knowledge and the hope that because he has told us before, and when these things come upon us, we shouldn't be like someone who, as this thing has come upon them unawares. We should know. And we should have an assurance. And our faith should no longer be faith, but knowledge. And we should be strengthened in these days that we live in. The many things that you see today, the things that are happening in the Middle East, the things that are occurring on the earth, are things that were foretold. Our children, when they go to school, they play with children who have a great, great fear of a nuclear holocaust. I hope our children don't have that. I hope our children are rooted in the belief and the hope and the faith that there is another world to come, and if that be it, then so what? I'm going to be with God. And that there would be no fear in that. That fear would not be overshadowed upon their little heads. And it shouldn't be with us as well. In Matthew, in the 24th chapter, we find that just a small portion. It says that in these days, it says, "And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Again, forewarning us, foretelling, giving us hope. We find that there will never be a day or days on the earth like it will be during that great tribulation period. But you know, there's been many people on this earth that has suffered great tribulation, probably as great as what we're reading here, almost. When I think about the Jews in Dachau that suffered great afflictions in the flesh. When I think about the starvation going on in Ethiopia. You know, there are many tribulations going on among the children of men. But there is a tribulation that we're going to have to endure that we haven't felt yet. And so, it is God's desire that you lose not hope and understand that it will come, but that your knowledge would be sufficient and that you'd be prepared for those things. That when they come upon you, it won't be unawares. Going back to 1 Peter, I'll go ahead and finish that, 6 through 9 there. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be," and as he said, "if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Obviously, there were those who were going through temptations at that time, as well as he's forewarning them that there will be. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." And that is the end of our faith. Receiving that salvation which we desire. The thing in which was purported to us by those of old who saw his ascension, that we, like him, would ascend and be with God. We again, in the scriptures, we can turn to them and find that to strengthen our hope and our faith. Find it. We're told in Corinthians in the 10th chapter in the 13th verse, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, as I contemplate Jesus Christ, and as he suffered himself to condescend to our level and to walk within the flesh, and I feel for the specific purpose of knowing how we feel, how we truly feel in the flesh. You can't really know what another person is going through unless you've walked in the same path. And so it was with Christ. He came to this earth that he might walk in the same path that we would walk. And yet, he was able to overcome all things. And so these words are true. There has been no temptation taken, but that there was a way prepared that we might escape it. And you know, again, I can stand before you. 10 years ago, I can tell you that this is true. It is knowledge. It is true. You can overcome. And God can take it from you. And God can give you that peace within your heart and that hope. In the book of John, the words of Christ, in the 15th chapter, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, that purging or refining only comes by adversity and tribulation. Did you know that? Without it, that could not take place. Just like a piece of metal, gold, for instance, the only way to get the impurities out of it is to put it in a flame and heat it up to the point where the slag rises and they can scrape it away, and then it becomes pure. And so it is with us in this world. A very necessary thing within our lives. Again, we must always remember and not always lose hope that God knows what he's doing. And so that when we're going through that purging, know that he is in control of it. And through your choices, as you follow the will of God, you will become gold. And you will become silver. And that refined metal that God can use. Turning back into the book of Ether, my sermon isn't going to be very long. I know it's very warm outside and inside. We've just eaten. I know we're very tired. But you know, in the book of Ether, I find, again, more hope. In the 4th chapter, it says, wherefore, whoso believeth in God, and I hope and pray we all believe in God, in his might, with surety, hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. That hope that there is a better world. One of the ways in which we can continue on a day-to-day basis and to have that reassurance or that hope renewed within our hearts is found in the Philippians in the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You are possessors of a peace within your heart that none other has. No one else has that, because God has given that to you. Though there be a nuclear holocaust, though there be wars all about us, though our lives may be in total chaos, there should be a peace within you. That God is in all and in us all. Because there is a, in those words, I'm able to see the love of God. I can read about it, and it reminds me of the love of God throughout that chapter. Actually, 14, 15, and 16. But these words I would like to leave with you, and they are the words of Christ. And as we have begun our reunion, I hope and pray that each of you could have that peace of God within you, even though you may be caught up in whatever trial or temptation or tribulation within your life, whatever may be perplexing you. I hope and pray that God would minister within your heart that peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." And that's a sure promise. "Not as the world giveth," there's nothing in this world that can give us that kind of peace that God is, or as Jesus Christ is speaking of right here. "Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We should not be afraid, because we have been foretold the days that we live in today. Why should you fear? There are only things coming to pass that have been foretold. "You have heard how, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, or if ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." And so it is that our hope, that Jesus Christ went to his Father, that there are those who are eyewitnesses of that ascension. And not only that, that there were those that eyewitnessed his return, as we have recorded in the Book of Mormon, and that he lives. Let us come from this reunion with that hope of a better world, and with the love of God within our hearts. May God bless you.
That announcement that the container over here on supper is at